May is Military Appreciation Month, celebrating those who are currently serving in the United States military. S&T Bank salutes our military members and wants to thank you for your service. You serve our country. Let S&T Bank serve you with S&T's Armed Forces account featuring no minimum balances or maintenance fees. Plus, free ATMs, checks, and money orders. For more information, stop by a local branch, visit stbank.com, or call 800-325-2265. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and it is Monday. We are in the aftermath. The smoke has cleared from the 2024 NFL Draft, and Matt, by pretty much every account. And I'm not just talking in Pittsburgh.
Right.
The Steelers nailed this thing.
I 100% agree. I mean, I get a kick out of post-draft grades and all that thing, all those things.
Who took the most players people heard of?
That's, right, exactly.
That's what that usually turns out to be. Who had the most picks?
Who had the most picks and early picks, and they did the most, blah, blah, blah. But the Steelers have been in almost all the lists near the top in terms of what the experts like. You and I have been talking about these specific players for months now, and you know it seems like we nailed it, to be very honest. Congrats to The Drive. It couldn't have went much better in terms of where players fell and not having to move to get them or be overly aggressive. And I give Omar Khan in the front office a lot of credit for having a really strong understanding of what pockets to fish in and what the league might scoop up and who might be available. I thought that worked out really, really well for them. And frankly, the players they brought in, I think, are high-impact guys now. And two trends of the class I think are really important is if you look at relative athletic score, which you know indicates how athletic are you for your size, this was like the most athletic class in the league. And it's also one of the most experienced. I mean, there's a lot of snaps here for these guys coming in. So I don't think there are going to be a lot of projects.
No, I don't see any projects at all, except maybe, you know, the final pick
in
Watts. So how about this? We did our Steelers top 20 last week. I just called my list up here.
I'll grab mine real quick.
I hadn't looked at it since
I was just thinking about that.
Last week. Troy Fitano, number 7 on my list last week of the 20 guys the Steelers would take at pick 20, he was number 7 on the list.
Look, I'm pulling mine up as we speak, actually. He was – it's going to be really similar. This is my day two ones. He was number 9 for me.
But you included quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, the guys ahead of
quarterbacks.
I mean, the guys ahead of him were Caleb Williams, Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Adunze, Daniels, Alton Latham.
Yeah.
You know, so of guys that – I mean, that's phenomenal. Like when we always tell people, like, well, he was a top 10 player for us. He was a top 10 player for them.
Yeah. You know, I have a feeling he was a top 10 player for the Steelers.
No doubt in my mind. You know, I mean, he might have been 7th on their board or 8th, 9th, 10th, whatever.
I'm guessing it was very similar to what I had here.
Mm-hmm.
So the Steelers, of course, take Troy Fitano, the offensive tackle. Not guard, tackle.
And they made that pretty clear.
Out of Washington, with their first pick at 20 overall. At pick 19 in round 2, they take center Zach Frazier from West Virginia. And Matt, I know there were times we did a lot of mock drafts.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of times when we would get done with our mock draft, and I would say, with those first two picks, would you take those right now or would you go fish?
And always when we got a center in round 2, almost always Frazier. And one of our favorite tackles, maybe it's Fuaga, or, you know, I think we almost always said, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I mean, those two is an unbelievable start to the draft. There was a lot, I'm sure. Well, and Omar Khan even said this, that as the first round was ticking by, his heart was beating pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You know, is this guy going to fall 2 more spots? He can fall 1 more spot. I bet there was some of that feeling with Frazier as well. You know, like all our research shows we have a pretty good chance of getting them, but sometimes you roll snake eyes, too, and it just doesn't work that way, you know? And I think if you told them a week ago you could lead this draft off with those two offensive linemen, you would have taken it, I would have taken it, and I think
they certainly took it, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they came out of that part of it very, very well. And then you start looking at, you know, what else they got then. Roman Wilson with the 20th pick in round 3, the wide receiver out of Michigan. They then come back 15 picks later and take Peyton Wilson, the linebacker out of NC State. Just,
I was a little surprised by that.
To me, those both were value picks.
Yeah. Receiver with the third pick wasn't a shock. I mean, whether it was him or not. I mean, that was probably the biggest need on the board when times came around. And I know slot corner is a need we've talked about a lot, but you can find a slot corner easier than you can find a starting type receiver. Slot corner, we'll talk about, I'm sure, these next couple weeks a lot. I didn't see the Wilson pick coming, but I found it odd that they brought him and Colson, the linebacker from Michigan, in on visits.
And when they did that, we talked about it at the time. Like, there may come a point in the draft where they're available and it's just too good to be true. You have to take them.
And you have to be clean on his medicals, so you probably wanted to spend the day with them.
Yeah.
You know, all those things. And it worries me a little for Holcomb's future, but I think deep down they just thought, this is a first-round tape player, and I'm not exaggerating with that, that even with medicals is probably still a late second on our board, and he's still there. And
this was the end of this is the 98th pick in the draft, and he's still there, and we had him ranked in the top 50.
And I mean, a lot of these guys miss that are super athletes at that position, but they're first-round picks that you overdraft, and they're really hard to find. I mean, Fred Warner was a third-round pick. Leonard was a second. I mean, there's a lot of day two guys that don't get thrown in the mix immediately that end up having great careers at this position.
Yeah, they then come back with the 19th pick in round four. They take Mason McCormick, the guard from South Dakota State, another guy that that we liked and talked a lot about. And then
that one felt like too good to be true, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure they wanted to revamp their offensive line, but I don't think they looked at it like we have to bring in a third guy.
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty crowded
room. They probably had all their guys ranked at that point, and I'm guessing he was still over here in this other pile. Like, we would have taken him at 84 if we had not gotten a center in the second round.
Right. I mean, anyone that listens heard us. I mean, and I'm not saying I know more than the Steelers are or they're listening to us. I mean, they have no reason to do that, obviously. But we said many times that if those top three centers that everyone knows are gone, this guy might be the next best, you know, at that position. But he's also a guard convert.
Yeah.
So they announced him as a guard, which makes all the sense in the world. You just drafted a center. But I think they just wanted him. I mean, they may have looked at it the same way, that if we get shut out on those top three, that's our number one target, and he's still there on day three. Let's grab him.
Yeah. Then in the sixth round, with the second pick in the sixth round, they take defensive lineman Logan Lee of Iowa. To me, he was one of the last guys in this draft that had the body type that they look for as a pure defensive end.
Yeah.
A lot of those defensive tackles went in rounds two and three.
Oh, sure.
And so
Ruka Roro went really quick. And, you know,
Those guys were, in fact, a lot of those guys were gone before the Steelers picked. That hurt the Browns to a certain degree. We'll talk more about that when we get to the rest of the AFC. And then finally, Ryan Watts, the defensive back from Texas, they took with the 19th pick and their final pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Kind of a project defensive back.
Yeah, he's a talented, good-looking cat that we got to figure out what to do with.
Special teams type guy.
At a minimum,
You know, when you look at what they lost on special teams this offseason, Miles Boykin, James Pierre, some of those guys, there's some snaps that need to be filled there. And this guy can help do that.
Yeah. I mean, he screams practice squad or inactive if he makes the final roster, but highly recruited, went to Penn State, body beautiful, like he's sculpted like an underwear model type. Great jumps, good tester all in all. I don't know if he's fluid enough to be an outside corner. He doesn't have a lot of safety experience, but maybe he's your big slot, you know, that could handle tight ends and things.
At the very least, he's helping you out on this new kickoff rule.
At a minimum.
You know, I think he and Wilson scream.
Oh, big time.
That. And maybe even Lee.
I'd say Lee might be out there too.
Lee tested pretty well for a big guy like that. It wouldn't surprise me to see him out there on some kickoff stuff. They're going to try a lot of different stuff early in the process to see what you need to have out there.
And those three draft picks you just mentioned should get a lot of preseason time. You know, preseason snaps too. So, that works out well. I didn't know much about him, but the more I dug into him, like, well, that's worth a shot in the dark because there's talent there to groom, and there's spots in the secondary where he could help you.
A guy that's 6'3 and 208 with a 40-plus-inch vertical and some of the explosiveness that he has shown and runs a 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, he runs more than well enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So there's tools there. There's traits.
Yeah.
So that's worth developing.
So you bring him in, and if all he is a special teams player.
Yeah.
As a sixth-round pick,
great.
That's fine.
That's right. Right.
That's
or
fine.
You don't hear from him for a year, and next year he's your nickel.
Yeah.
Still worth it, you know, right.
But obviously a heavy on the offensive line in this draft.
You get much heavier in drafts, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, in 2 seasons... 2 years, the Steelers have completely revamped
this.
Five draft picks on their offensive line. They've obviously brought some guys in. Isaac Seumalo, part of that as well. Nate Herbig, they brought in the last 2 seasons. They've revamped this thing pretty quickly.
And with all respect to the Chukwuemeka Okorafors and Dan Moores and Mason Coles, nobody ever thought they were going to be stars. You know, they're third-round picks. They're good talent's not great. I know Mason Cole went in the second, but we had seen his body of work before. He didn't get drafted by the Steelers. You knew he wasn't going to be a superstar. And I think they're done with that. You know, like, we don't want just good enough at the O-line. We want stars. I mean, we want the best line in the league. We want an Eagles line.
Foundational pieces.
Yeah, right.
And that's one of the things. We had Omar Khan joined us on our draft coverage on Steelers Nation Radio over the weekend. And I asked him, I said, look, this is the first time in team history that the Steelers have taken an offensive tackle with their first pick in back-to-back drafts. Mm-hmm. With that comes some expectations.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, absolutely. We expect these two guys to be foundational pieces, cornerstones for our offensive line for the next decade.
I mean, they might be the two most important offensive players on this team.
I mean,
talking big picture. I mean, is Russell Wilson going to be back? Who knows? You know, Najee's back and... I mean, his contract's coming up soon. Pickens would be in that conversation. But you have a pair of bookend tackles like that. You are the envy of the league. That's hard to accomplish.
At the very least, what you have done here, Matt, whether they have their quarterback of the future or not on their roster, we don't know. Justin Fields,
it could be that.
We don't know.
Right. They're taking two shots.
They have built a nest.
They've built a great nest.
That if they do have to go shopping for, let's say they go 2 or 3 years from now, they're in the quarterback market in the draft again.
Or next year.
These guys will be well established in their careers.
You would think you'll have a top 10 O-line.
Yeah.
I mean, this year it probably won't, week one, be one of the best lines in the league. They're very, very young. But before this time next year, we should be talking about this like it's one of the best lines in the league.
Yeah, because offensive linemen taken that highly, first and second round offensive linemen seldom miss.
It's very seldom. And these guys have...
The traits are too good.
Exactly. You know, like, I'm really high on Mims, but I can easily paint a picture where, he just doesn't acclimate the league that well.
Where he's hurt a lot. That just continues what happened in college.
And anybody can get hurt, of course. I mean, all these guys could get hurt. But they seem safe with great upside as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the cumulative group of linemen they have now, offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I mean, even James Daniels isn't old. You know?
No, right.
Seumalo is in his prime and he's probably like the leader in that room. And, you know,
the interesting thing about this, and it's this will get figured out, is whether they keep Fatanu on the left side and let Broderick Jones play the right side or flip flop those guys. I know Fatanu played right tackle in high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Broderick Jones played left tackle in college. But Fatanu actually has played more games
at left.
He's played more games the last 2 seasons than Broderick Jones has.
At left or just in general? Probably both.
29 starts at left tackle the last 2 seasons.
Jones doesn't have 29.
Jones doesn't have 29 starts the last 2 seasons.
Yeah. And, I mean, I doubt he would push back on this, but there's been a lot of talk that Jones would prefer the left.
He said as much.
There.
He said that he would prefer to be that. And obviously most guys would because left tackles get paid more.
They get paid a little more. That's narrowing that gap, but it is... You'd rather be in the open market as a true left tackle than true right tackle. That being said, I mean, if Jones most recently had success on the right side, he's certainly physical enough to handle it. And you could open camp with saying the first round pick and Dan Moore are going to battle it out at left tackle, deep down knowing that probably the rook's going to win this thing.
You know?
But you don't give it to him, you know?
Yeah. Fatanu's, he was one of our run to the podium guys.
Yes.
Like, if this guy is available, and we did mock draft after mock draft after mock draft, and he was probably available 20% of the time, if not less.
Yeah. Like, to me, it went Latham, him, Fuaga. And those three were all right tackle. Well, I guess I keep calling him right tackle, and he isn't yet. But they were run-to-the-podium guys.
I liked Fogg a little bit more just because I knew he was a right tackle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you start...
We're splitting hairs there.
I mean, these guys were... They were all three of those guys were top 15 players in this draft to me.
And I'm sure on your list, they were all 6, 7, 8, 9.
They were 8 in a row, right. Yeah.
Same with mine. So, again, any of them get to, you're thrilled. I mean, Fuaga went pretty early. Latham went very early.
And when that happened, you started thinking, well, maybe this isn't going to work out for the Steelers.
Right. And kind of helped, at least from our eyes, that the Bengals took Mims instead of him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would have been a different conversation at Mims at 20 for me. I mean, maybe that would have been the pick. Maybe it would have worked out. But this was an easy one.
This was super easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. They had trade offers to trade down.
They definitely did.
And they did not want to move away from this particular player. And then stuck to their guns.
Real quick on that.
Yeah.
Jerry Dulac reported and was saying on the air with us, you know, in on day two and three, that their pecking order at 20 was, of course, the guy they got.
Yeah.
And they picked him. But Barton was next on their list. Guyton was next on their list. And anyone can listen to our pre-draft stuff.
Yeah.
Those guys were fine. I liked
them.
I don't think they're close to him, though.
No.
In terms of what I would pay for them. You know what I mean? They're not even close.
I think there was a clear line of delineation there between...
Yeah, because one's a center. I mean, you get a tackle, they're just worth a lot more.
Yeah, if they had come out of this with Barton, and then they obviously they wouldn't have taken Frazier, they would have taken somebody else in the second round.
Say it was Rosengarten or Sumatai or whoever.
That would have been fine.
Been fine. This is much better.
This is a home run.
It's not even close. Right. I mean... Frazier versus Barton is a conversation. Whoever you get in the second round compared to him isn't even close.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is way better. And I'd much rather invest in tackles.
You got, to me, a top 15 talent in this draft, maybe a top 12 talent in this draft.
Sure. I mean, he has a higher grade in every team in the country, including Denver, than Bo Nix.
Yeah.
It just, there's a tax on quarterbacks.
Right.
And
the fact that those six quarterbacks went in the first 12 picks allowed an excellent prospect like this to fall to the Steelers.
And now, really, I will warn you, all the playoff teams are saying the same thing, though. Like, I'm the Eagles, and I get the pick of any corner I want.
Right.
You know, like, a lot of people benefited from this. But we're focused on
like,
Steelers.
Even when we looked at the Miller?
Matt Miller?
Matt Miller did his 18 picks.
Yeah.
I don't know that he had any cornerbacks in his top 18.
Like the surefire first,
rounders. I don't think he had any in there.
I mean, that's a different conversation for a different segment. But I do think maybe the media and then people bumped this corner group up more than they were valued. But rarely do playoff teams like Detroit and Baltimore
get their choice of the corners.
Right. Yeah. Get first round corner. You know, I mean, that's because they went so fast on quarterbacks.
Yeah. But getting Fatano, this offensive line group, I think there were 9 taken in the first round.
Sounds right, yeah.
He was clearly one of the top 5.
Yes.
Clearly,
on any board in any way you look at it.
And
even called him just a guard.
Even you and I never looked at him as a guard.
No.
Once those arms measured in at 34 inches.
Senior Bowl, that point on, tackle.
He's a tackle.
Because, I mean.
The movement skills are tackle.
The movement skills, right. He's so quick off the ball. I mean, sure, if he's a right tackle, they're going to line him up against T.J. Watt in camp, and it's not always going to go well, but he has the feet that he is not just going to get beat by speed from the best edge rushers out there. You know, it's going to take a little time to deal with T.J. Watt, of course, but if he was slow-footed, I don't care about the long arms. It's not,
right.
You know, he has to have both.
Yeah, no, his skill set and his demeanor, his play demeanor is...
Recovery, and, ability... These guys that are going to attack his edge and then cross his face on the inside, he can change directions really, really well, reset with balance. He's probably the most athletic lineman in his class.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that.
Yeah, if he were 2 inches taller.
Oh, he's talking about Joe Alt.
He might have been the first tackle taken.
Might have been a Charger,
yeah. So that's what kind of player the Steelers got there. Let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go! This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
And we are back. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And, Matt, we talked a lot there in that first segment about first-round pick Troy Fa'atanu. I think he's going to be a clear favorite of Steeler fans. People who loved Broderick Jones last year are going to really love Troy Fa'atanu.
Yeah, let's compare them real quick because both have highly aggressive playing demeanors.
Yes.
You know, like, I'm sure if they both walked in the door next to each other and you're picking up teams, you would take Broderick. I mean, yes. He's a better looker and wider, thicker,
taller,
more prototypical looking tackle. They both move very, very well, but I think Fuatanu is quicker, certainly faster. If you had to hit a safety that's not going to stand still 20 yards downfield, I like his chances better. But Jones was great at that on pulls and things of that nature, too. They're an interesting duo, and I think they'll feed off each other from aggressiveness, passion standpoint.
In fact, at times, and we saw this last year with Broderick Jones, you know, this has been one of the knocks on Fuatanu, is that he's too aggressive.
Oh, yeah. And same with Jones, too. And I don't know if people know this, but it seems pretty clear that late into his rookie year, they look at Jones as a, I'm not saying he's Pouncey or DeCastro or Big Al or any of those guys, but a leader.
Tone
type.
Setter. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a tough guy in that locker room doesn't take crap from his teammates, and that's only going to be exemplified more and more. And you said sitting down with, Fuatanu when he got here, great talker. You had a great interview with him. I mean, you think he's going to be well spoken and,
he's got, there's a lot of leadership skills there.
Yeah.
The same could be said as Zach Frazier, the second round
question.
Pick.
Yeah.
Now, he's not the movement player.
People think he's a little bit better athlete than he is in terms of movement stuff, but he plays really low, which is also an athlete.
If you put a nose tackle over top of him, good luck with that. He's got a good anchor. He's obviously played a lot of games, a lot of football at the center position.
Yeah.
Has that wrestling background that.
The more I watch him, too, one thing he's really good at that people don't think about a lot is when you pull, well, one guy needs to handle that guy's job.
Yeah.
You know, like if he cracks down on a defensive tackle.
Sealing off that
the
backside. Sealing the backside.
And here comes a big wave of a guard and a tackle behind him. Well, he better be pretty sturdy or you're getting blown up in the backfield. He does this stuff really, really,
really well.
His grip strength is fantastic. I mean, that goes back.
When he understands the angles on that stuff,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, that's just one of them. He climbs the second level just fine. Good in protection. Not a superstar, but, I mean, these are rookies, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had bad reps. All these guys are in bad reps,
And, of course, we know how Steeler fans love their centers.
Yeah. I hope it's not like if he's not as good as Pouncey, he's a bust. I mean, come on, guys,
No, I think he'll be a very solid pro for the next decade, at least.
And he's from around here. And a lot of people watch him on TV. Even if you're Pitt fans and you hate WVU, you got to respect
him. You've seen this guy play and the toughness and everything that he brings to the game.
And our buddy Wes Euler, who's over the moon.
He might be his publicist.
He might be his publicist. But he had some great stuff on him about WVU's run game before and after Frazier. I mean, it's like 80 yards per game difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's light years difference.
Good football player and will be a fan favorite as well. The guy who's going to, of course, be the player who gets the ball is Roman Wilson. And I hate to put this comparison on him, but I see some Hines Ward in his game.
I see what you're saying. Like, I don't think, Wilson's faster than Ward.
Yeah.
Ward's a borderline Hall of Famer.
But just the grittiness the grittiness and toughness that he plays with. Yeah. And you don't necessarily think of that with a 5'10", 5'11", 185-pound wide receiver who runs a 4.39.
Yeah. I mean, he's flat out fast.
Yeah.
He's going to. Austin's probably the only guy on the team you'd say is definitely faster than him.
Yeah.
Maybe Jackson, actually, now I think.
But
they got a couple speedsters, though.
But he's a guy that will stick his nose in there, will do the dirty work.
Yeah.
When the ball's in the air, they're not 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
Like, he's plucking the ball off of defensive back's helmets. He's he'll save your quarterback sometimes if you make some bad throws because he's just, when the ball's in the air, it's his.
Heavy, heavy percentage of slot usage or pre-snap motion into the slot to kind of get him away from man coverage, which is where he needs to work on. And he's never going to be huge. I mean, he's going to wake up every day and be the size that he is. He's not going to be Plaxico Burress. But he plays bigger than that. A lot of verticality out of the slot, as you would think from a 4-3 guy. Like, they will throw deep bombs straight down the field, getting matched up on a nickel.
He's matched up on Mike Hilton. He's going to outrun Mike Hilton all day long.
And pass the safety to
him.
So you'll throw bombs out of the slot. But you also see a lot of in-breaking routes, too, because he isn't bashful. I mean, deep ends and things like that.
And the run after the catch stuff is
pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And if you're at Michigan, you're going to block. Even if you're the smallest guy in the offense, you will block or you won't be out there
yeah.
in the run game.
Yeah. So
he's not bashful at all of that.
Yeah, I think Steeler fans will like the way he plays as well.
Yeah.
And they'll really like the way that the second, third round draft pick, Peyton Wilson, is my early favorite to lead the Steelers in tackles in the preseason.
We've not been doing this too long. I was about to say lead the NFL in preseason.
He might
tackles.
Do that too, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, if he gets enough playing time, tackles are not a problem for this guy. I mean, that's a great football player. I mean,
yeah.
He has two negatives. He has very short arms, and that sometimes will a big guard gets on top of him. He can have a hard time getting to that guard.
They got to catch him first.
But he knows that stuff's coming. He's compensated for it with the
duck
feel for things.
And
a burst of the ball, no false steps, and the injuries. I mean, the injuries are obvious. He has numerous, but it's going back to high school. I mean,
eight
surgeries, I think,
yeah.
On knee and
shoulder. Yeah.
But he's been clean for 2 years. I mean, he's played a lot of football over the last 2 years.
And the reports during the draft that teams found that he didn't have an ACL in one of those knees.
Mm-hmm. Another Heinz Ward thing.
Obviously, yeah. Again, Heinz Ward. He's figured out how to play despite that.
So, was he and Ward both born without one, or were they taken out in a surgery?
Ward, if I remember correctly, Ward tore his, they figured out, in a bike accident as a kid.
Okay.
And I assume that Wilson at some point tore his and just...
They were all born with ACLs, right? It wasn't like... wasn't born with a left...
And so your body learns to compensate without that. You know, you build the muscles up around that area and...
Sure.
You know.
It's just like a short dude. I mean, Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray, it's like, what's it like being a short quarterback? It's like, well, I don't know.
What it's
like
to be a
6'5" quarterback.
Right.
You know,
I've been this my whole life.
It's not ideal. I mean, you'd love his knees to be perfect, his shoulder to be perfect.
But if he had been, he's a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd been first linebacker off the board.
Yeah.
Clearly. Because, like, I'm not cutting on, like, Cooper. Cooper's a really good athlete, but he's never going to wear the green dot.
Yeah.
Colson's a green dot guy, but he's an okay athlete. You know, where Wilson, who was in the top three with those guys, at least on tape, he's better than both of them on tape, is all the above. I mean, he's the best mind on the field in college, the best playmaker, the best athlete, you know, on every defense he's been on.
Yeah. So, again, it's just I think that was just a pick that they had to make because he was still he's there.
Still there.
You have to take the gift when it's given to you.
And Mike Pursue has been harping on this, and he's 100% right. It's like, remember what happened last year at the position.
Right.
I mean, it could happen at any position and any cluster of injuries.
A lot less likely to happen now at linebacker with some of the bodies that you've acquired there.
And I hope Holcomb's fine, but we don't know that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if he isn't, then...
Boy, if he is, they've got a hell of a linebacker crew.
If he is,
they've
got a ton. If he isn't...
If Cole Holcomb is healthy,
mm-hmm.
let's say it's even into the first month of the season.
Yeah.
They might have the best inside linebacker group this side of San Francisco.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of four deep.
Yeah.
I mean, even three deep without Holcomb looks pretty promising right now. And Wilson, frankly, would be the better athletic version of Holcomb.
It's certainly one of the most athletic
linebacker
groups in the NFL.
I mean, if you look at it as Queen's always going to be out there.
Yeah.
And then.
And he's a plus athlete.
He's better than what they've been playing with for sure for years. And then the rotation of either Wilson, Holcomb, or why can't I remember his name right now? The linebacker.
Landon Roberts.
Roberts, right.
Yeah.
Roberts is much different than the others. You know, Roberts is the banger and was phenomenal last year, was way better in coverage and space than I expected, but you don't want him out there all the time as your nickel linebacker against Kittle or McCaffrey or one of those type of dudes.
Yeah. So, they've obviously upgraded that position. And then they continued in the fourth round by acquiring Mason McCormick. I think it's very much like Peyton Wilson. I think they were looking at the center group, and they did extensive studies on the centers, and they got to the point where Mason McCormick was still there, and they said, you know what? This is a guy we would have taken 40 picks ago.
He probably would have been the Wilson pick.
Right.
If they hadn't been center yet.
Yeah, or Roman Wilson. Even.
Right, yeah.
You know,
I guess I could.
If they had gone wide receiver in the second round mm-hmm. instead of Zach Frazier,
or if
Frazier wasn't there,
right.
McCormick might have been the fallback option.
Already been on the team. Yeah.
And they said, you know what? We're just going to take this guy because he's too good. He shouldn't still be available.
We've
loved
done so
him.
Much homework on him. We want him to be a Steeler. We have a high grade on him.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
And a year, you know, this is a pick for a year from now down the road.
Probably.
But in the meantime, maybe he's your game day top backup at Garden Center.
Do you think he'll take many center snaps in camp? I bet as he gets, I bet he starts at guard, and then as we get into camp,
First he focuses on both, you know, playing both guard positions. Mm-hmm. He's played left, so maybe they work him in on the right, just to get him used to playing that. And then, you know, once that happens, maybe you get to see him snap in a third preseason game or something
like
that.
That's what I think. Like fourth quarter of games with the undrafted free agent quarterback or Allen. Go give it a try. I know it won't be perfect, but go give it a try.
Because you want him, you want to see if he can do it because he's not done it. He was the backup center at South Dakota
didn't
State.
Didn't do it in games on tape.
I think he played like two snaps at center in his college career.
Yeah.
You want to get him some time there because you need to know on game days, is he going to be active as the backup center?
Right. And you assume Herbig's still in the mix, but he doesn't have to be. I mean, I keep bringing these things up because the league is unforgiving. But a Herbig, an Austin, Holcomb, they're not guaranteed to be on the roster. You know, I mean, like you could get something from them.
Yeah, these are guys that you could trade and acquire
some of the stuff.
Maybe it's trading a Herbig to get somebody's extra slot cornerback or something like that.
Yeah, right. I mean, never, as they've shown, you know, they traded Dotson, they traded Kendrick Green last year. Having too many good linemen to make your offensive depth chart is never, ever, ever a problem.
No.
And I wonder if this will be an Omar Khan thing is they don't need a guard in round five in the 2026 draft, but they take one anyway.
But this draft was so good with offensive linemen.
Yeah, paint the barn red.
That the, you know, again, in a normal draft, maybe Mason McCormick does go a round earlier or two rounds earlier.
I mean, if you go look at his testing, it's elite. I mean, it's one of the best. And level competition wasn't great, but he was really, really good against the guys you'd expect him to be. And we'll see. You know, I mean, certainly worth a redshirt year at a minimum.
Yeah. And you get
play a ton of preseason.
You get a year to, you know, even continue to work with him in terms of his skill set and those kind of things, but also get him into a more professional training program regime, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then they take Logan Lee and defensive tackle out of Iowa and Ryan Watson, the sixth round. A couple of kind of developmental players.
Yeah, I think Lee could use some weight and strength and thickness and grow up a little bit. But he plays well on a really good defense. He has the traits you look for, enough athleticism, length. I mean, we're talking about six-round picks here. You know, so we'll see.
Yeah.
And kind of a louder milk-like pick.
Yeah, and so you just kind of throw him into the mix and see how he fits in. And again, you know, louder milk at this point is going into year four. He's not guaranteed anything.
No, and chance of him being here next year are pretty slim.
Yeah.
From what we're going off of. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but, I mean, he doesn't mean far from a guarantee to make this team.
And, you know, same thing with DeMarvin Leal at this point heading into year three. Now, he was a third-round draft pick, so you get a little more leeway with that.
He's still really, really young, too. He came out young, but you need to show me more.
Right. Need to have more there. And so this is a big year for both of those guys, and you're adding another player into that mix in that mold in Logan Lee.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to, you know, we've seen some of these late round defensive ends in particular work out for the Steelers before in the past. I mean, the Brett Kiesels, the Aaron Smiths, and I hate to compare the kid to someone like that, but
that's what he looked like coming out of college.
Yeah.
And people forget what those guys looked like the day they were drafted. I mean, they were day three picks as well. Aaron Smith, I think, was 265 at his combine. You know, grow up and you eat a lot of steaks and spend a lot of time in the weight room and turn into be 290 and, you know, turn into a great player.
And as far as Lee goes, in terms of I think he's pretty technically sound.
Yeah.
Which is a good place
well
to start.
And right.
Yeah.
And hey, I mean, is it ever a bad idea to have a late round pick in the same room with Cam Hayward at the same position?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? While Cam's still here, learn as much as you can from that guy.
And Watts can be a guy who, at the very least, helps your special teams out.
I would imagine
with that body type.
You mentioned this, I think, the other day. James Pierre, at a minimum, as a core special teamer, gunner, you know, all those things. And maybe he's your big slot.
Right.
Maybe he's a safety. I mean, he's going to be pretty. I mean, he is a body, beautiful, big.
Can run and
back.
Has an explosion, and he's a good tackler.
Yeah.
And there's a lot there to work with that.
Trice and Rush aren't the most fluid outside corners in the league either. With this scheme, they may say, hey, I don't need Deion Sanders' hips to be my corners on the outside because you're huge.
You know?
I mean, there's a reason they're getting all these big defensive backs.
Absolutely. But that's the Steelers draft there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll look and see what the rest of the AFC North did in this draft. We'll do that when we continue. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Steeler fans, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or you can visit online at shop.steelers.com. And Matt, you can go get that Troy Fatanu 76 jersey. I know they previewed that earlier this weekend, that he will wear number 76. They haven't given the other new rookies numbers yet, but those will be coming out here as we get closer to rookie minicamp.
Rookie linemen go in around the league. I bet these two sell a lot of jerseys.
Yeah. I know. Wes Uhler will go get himself a Zach Frazier. Oh.
Several.
Yeah.
Get the home, the away, the bumblebee, any way you can possibly get it.
No doubt. So looking at the rest of the AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens in the first round took cornerback Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. In the second round, they came back and took offensive tackle Roger Rosengarten, who was, of course, Fatanu's teammate at Washington. He played on the right side, Fatanu on the left. They then, in round three, take Penn State linebacker Adisa Isaac. They had two fourth-round picks and ended up taking North Carolina wide receiver Devontae Walker and then Iowa State cornerback TJ Tampa. In the fifth round, it was Rasheen Ali, the running back out of Marshall. In the sixth round, they took quarterback Devin Leary from Kentucky.
I forgot he went there.
And then in the seventh round, they had two picks. They ended up with Michigan State center Nick Samak. And then Sayanasi Kane, a safety from Purdue.
All right, well, let's concentrate on the first 2 days there because, I mean, even Ali, the running back, is injured and might not even play this year.
Right.
So it looks like a lot of projects in day three for the Ravens. I'm sure they were shocked to have a man-to-man corner that runs 4-3 with Wiggins' length still available to one of the best teams in the league last year. But he also, him and Rosengarten, to me, aren't Ravens.
You know, they're not typical Baltimore picks. If the Steelers had taken those two guys, you'd be like, well, that's kind of finessey.
A little finessey for the AFC North, Ravens, Steelers. Wiggins was not big on tackling last year. Rosengarten's more of a finesse player that needs to get tougher and stronger, and, you know, there's something there to work with, but fine. They doubled down on corner. Tampa, I don't know why he fell, but Tampa's a good outside corner with size. I don't know if there's an injury there we don't know about. He didn't run great. And then Isaac is yet another Big Ten edge rusher. You know, they drafted Ajabo, they drafted Owe, Clowney's not back. You know, none of them have been huge hits.
They haven't hit on any of them.
Yeah, they're still all work in progresses, so that adds up. And then
Walker,
one other pick in there.
Devontae Walker was a guy that
deep threat.
Was highly thought of, didn't have a great Senior Bowl, dropped a lot of passes.
Yeah. But he's a one-trick pony. I mean, I think the Senior Bowl hurt him more than it should. Poor guy had a bad week and didn't catch the ball well because he caught the ball well from Drake May, all in all. But he's an outside-the-numbers deep threat that, if you're going to run the ball a ton, should get some single coverages here and there and maybe hit over the top.
Yeah. So
their class was my third favorite in the division. I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was okay. Yeah, but they picked late.
The Bengals take Amarius Mims, two picks before the Steelers get Fatanu. That actually helped the Steelers in many ways. They could have taken Fatanu, plugged him in at guard,
right,
and then maybe moved him out to tackle next year.
What this told me is they define their tackles.
They want big dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you got to be this big to ride the Thunderbolt, and it's Kenny the Kangaroo or whatever is pretty darn big for their tackles.
Then on day two, they come back with Chris Jenkins with the 17th pick in the second round, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. In round three, they had two picks. They took Jermaine Burton, the wide receiver out of Alabama, and then McKinley Jackson with their second, third-round pick, defensive tackle out of Texas A&M. In the fourth round, they take Eric Aull, the tight end out of Iowa. In the fifth round, it was Josh Newton, cornerback out of TCU. They had two sixth-round picks. They took Tanner McLaughlin, the tight end out of Arizona, and Cedric Johnson, the edge rusher out of Ole Miss. They came back with another Ole Miss player in the seventh round with DeJuan Anthony. He's the big hitter out of Ole Miss. And then finally took center Matt Lee from Miami with their final pick in this draft.
I like their draft. Now, I look at their draft in two totally different lights. If you look at their offensive players, they couldn't be more volatile. I mean, they all have something big wrong with them or concerns, but they are some of the most talented players at their position. Mims, we've talked about to no end. Burton, to me, is the seventh or eighth best wide receiver on tape. All might be the second best tight end in this class, but he never finishes a season.
He has injury concerns with Burton. Yeah. It's off the field stuff.
Burton, it's off the field stuff. Mims, it's just injuries and no experience.
McLaughlin ran like crazy.
Yeah. I didn't think of him. Yeah, but that's another tight end to back up, you know, that equation. So they could hit like crazy on one, none, all those guys. One thing I did hear that I think made the life a little easier for them is I guess TJ Houshmandzadeh and Burton are very close. I don't know if they're cousins.
Houshmandzadeh's been training guys, a lot of guys in the draft.
So I'm sure he at least was consulted
vouched
on
for
that.
Him, yeah.
Yeah, so who knows. But their defensive guys are the total opposite. They're kind of boring, plug-and-play, little risk, good players, not home runs. Jenkins, I know no one's going to hear this, but if it was Jenkins versus Frazier in the second round, I'd have some conversations. I mean, I probably would have leaned Frazier, but that would be a tough decision for me. McKinley Jackson is just a pure nose, you know, tough guy in the middle. I thought they took him too early, but it was a need after Reeder was gone. And the other guys are fine. You know, like the defensive players aren't nearly as flashy.
Yeah. Josh Newton to me looks like a potential replacement down the road for, you know, Mike Hilton.
Yeah.
Kind of a slot. We'll see. We'll see with that one. But they helped themselves.
I like that. Like they were my second favorite draft in the division. And I guess they announced this morning Dax Hill was now
going to be an outside cornerback.
Corner.
Yeah. For Cleveland, they didn't have a first round pick.
No, they don't
the gift that keeps on giving from the Deshaun Watson. So their first pick, because there was a run on defensive tackles,
right,
in the second round, including Jenkins, they take Michael Hall with the seventh. He was the seventh.
D tackle taken,
I believe.
Okay, that sounds adds up.
Tackle class, it wasn't particularly good.
No,
They just took one because he was the best guy available.
Mm-hmm. I thought that might be a running back, honestly.
Yeah.
But
there were better players. I thought of he was more of a third round guy.
I agree.
Even into the fourth round, they take him in the second round. Then they come back with Michigan guard Zach Zinter in round three. In the fifth round, they take Jamari Thrash. They've taken a wide receiver now in the draft every year.
None of them, and their best receivers are guys they've
traded
for.
In the last 5 years, and none of them have worked out.
Right. They've traded for Rondell Moore. They've traded for Judy. They've traded for Amari Cooper, and they keep drafting them and not hitting on them.
They took in the sixth round Nathaniel Watson, the linebacker out of Mississippi State, and then they had two seventh-round picks. They took Miles Harden, the South Dakota cornerback, and Juwan Briggs, a defensive tackle, from Cincinnati.
Harden was a guy I was pretty fond of. I mean, I like that pick. The linebacker from Mississippi's
probably. He's fine.
He's okay. Yeah, I didn't dislike either one of those neighborhoods if the Steelers would have went that way. Special team stuff for the linebacker, of course. Thrash, to me, is a four if he works out. I don't think we drafted him once in our mocks.
Not once.
Not because we hated him. It's just there's always a receiver we liked better at the time. As for Hall, I think he's a specialist. I think he's going to be out there in pass rushing downs. Other than Myles Garrett, they like to rotate their defensive linemen, but I think he'll always be a rotation.
Because none of their other defensive linemen are any good.
Yeah, right.
If they were good players, you wouldn't rotate them.
Right.
They rotate because they have to, because these guys are all eh.
He's more of a pass rusher, undersized, doesn't handle double teams, makes play in the backfield. And Zinter, to me, is... I mean, the Ravens did this last year with Voorhees. They took a guard and redshirted him all year because he's injured. And I guess Zinter has a better chance to come back this year than Voorhees. But their guards are just really expensive.
Yeah.
And now they're getting up in age. I wonder if one of the two won't be back next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're setting the stage for that. But that's their second pick in this draft.
Yeah.
They really didn't help themselves.
They didn't do a lot to help themselves this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They're a team that is now living through free agency and what they've been able to acquire in drafts or in via trades.
They might be the team that helped themselves the least over the weekend.
They're the fourth place team in the division to me.
I know, me too. I mean, I like their roster. I don't think they – I think they probably entered the draft with the fewest needs, but they also knew that –
They have no depth, though.
Right. I mean, that they had to address all those needs pre-draft because they didn't have the picks to do it. Their quarterback situation, though, I mean, reading the writing on the wall, you don't go sign guys left and right and have a four-man quarterback room if you're super sold on your starter, right?
Who you still owe
– Who's going to be there.
$150 million.
Right. I mean, he's going to be there. That would worry me. And the Nick, I know it's a running back, but would have liked Brooks from Texas or Blake or somebody there to be your next, or at least some sort of version of Chubb. Because I don't think he'll be ready this year either.
Yeah. I mean, this is the last time or last year that they won't have a first-round draft pick because of the Deshaun Watson situation. But that's been costly
paying
for
the
them.
Price,
That's been costly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you get Jerry Jeudy at a nice price, but then you
paid
him. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's okay. I mean, I think he's an overrated player. What you gave up in draft compensation, no big deal. But I can't get one in the draft, so I'm going to do this. And then you make the mistake of doubling down on the contract.
Yeah.
I mean, they're an aggressive organization. They're a very analytic organization. They spend – they have the highest cash spending in the league over the last, like, 3 years or so. Kind of because they have to, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, we got to solve problems with money. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Just throwing money at it doesn't necessarily fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of their problem right now.
You inherit some other team's problems. Like, I like Elijah Moore, but he never fit in with the Jets. Was that them or him? I don't know.
There's a reason Denver wanted to divest itself of Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, he was going no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of a jerk.
Overrated, overpaid.
You're not good enough to be that big of a jerk.
Right.
You know,
right.
So... we'll see.
They do good things. I mean, it's a good defense.
For them, it all still falls to how good is the quarterback going to be?
Mm-hmm. Like, I do think the Steelers could overcome below-average quarterback play still better than the Browns could.
Yes.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah. A, the coaching is better.
Top to bottom, the whole team.
Despite the fact that Kevin Stefanski is now won Coach of the Year twice in the last 4 years.
It's so crazy. He won Coach of the Year, and I still think he's on the hot seat.
He hasn't even won a division.
Right.
They still haven't won a division title since 1989, and he's been Coach of the Year twice.
Twice, yeah. And I think he might get fired or – they hired Vrabel for a reason.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And he's Coach of the Year.
So
it's an unstable organization.
I'm with you. I think if I ranked the drafts for the division, it would go Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Cleveland.
Yeah. And Cleveland might be 32nd.
It's pretty bad.
They didn't have any
capital.
Right. I mean, I didn't like Atlanta's pick, but at least they drafted somebody in the first round.
Right. Yeah, they got a quarterback that, you may have disagreed with why they did it.
Sure.
But
he could be a really good quarterback someday, at
right?
least, and that has immense value. You know, I didn't love Tennessee's draft, but Latham's a good player.
You know, so. Yeah, they got more out of it than just that, and the Browns really didn't.
Yeah, I mean, even Houston, the other team that didn't have a first, they at least made a lot of day two picks, and they'll be fine. And they have future picks waiting, and you know, Carolina didn't have a first, but they traded back in, but they have a couple second rounders and stuff too. I think this is the lightest draft of anyone.
Absolutely. Let's get to a break. That's going to do it for hour number one of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with hour number two right after this.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.